Robin Williams planted a tiny pine sapling no bigger than a thumb in her backyard 30 years ago, and today it towers above her Hyde Park home.
I raised this tree when I raised my children, and look at this. I never thought I could grow something like that. Look at this. Look at that.
And there's something about being near that tree.
It makes everybody a little bit happy around here. When you're looking for strength, you can't do better than looking at a tree.
WBUR's Martha Biebinger reports on the mind and body impacts trees have on us and what science is learning about how trees deliver those benefits.
Many of us know that feeling Robin Williams describes of being happier around trees. Now a growing body of research suggests many connections between trees and our collective or individual health.
A longer life, better birth outcomes, lower stress levels, lower risk of heart disease, improved child...
Dr. Howard Frumkin is at the University of Washington
eyesight,
School of Public Health.
Lower risk of diabetes, reduced symptoms of ADHD, reduced aggression. Proximity to trees is associated with a ridiculously broad range of health benefits. I wish we had pills that were this good for health.
A few countries, notably Japan and South Korea, have invested in a practice known as forest bathing, or spending time among trees, as a preventive health measure. But prescribing time in nature is still pretty far outside mainstream medicine in the U.S. Frumkin says that may be because there's a lot we don't know.
What dose is needed? What form of tree contact is best? Do you need to walk among trees? Is it sufficient just to look at the trees from outside your window? Do you need big trees or do small trees do the trick?
You know, we're not able to tease the forest from the trees.
Peter James at Harvard Medical School aims to answer a lot of the questions Frumkin just posed. He's merging health data captured by phones, real-time surveys about well-being and mood, and street view mapping data.
To dig into what's exactly within view, is it trees, is it flowers, and how those things are related to health behaviors and health outcomes.
James and other researchers are also trying to figure out how much time among trees we need. One UK study says 2 hours a week is enough for people who get outdoors to report better health and a better sense of well-being than those who don't. The benefit was the same for people of all ages, races, and income groups. And study co-author Dr. Sarah Warber says it did not matter whether they were exercising or sitting still.
It's all about just getting your human self out into nature.
Why getting out into nature and being around trees makes us healthier and happier is less clear. Warber describes one of the main theories.
We weren't designed to be inside houses. We were designed to be in nature, and we feel best when we're there.
This theory, called biophilia, was popularized by E.O. Wilson at Harvard. It suggests that time among trees helps us return to a more natural mental and physical state. Another theory is that a walk in the woods stimulates our immune systems. And while you don't have to exercise to absorb the benefits of trees, being in parks or woods may encourage more vigorous movement. Then there's the theory of awe. Seeing something
that literally blows your mind, that is so extraordinary that your prior knowledge doesn't account for it particularly well.
Michelle Sciotta, who studies awe at Arizona State University, paused in some of those restorative moments a few weeks ago among the redwoods just north of San Francisco.
Some of those benefits may come from looking at something that is so much larger than you and so much older than you and being in a space that existed long before we were here as humans and will exist long after we're gone.
If these trees survive the fires and drought that are a growing threat with climate change. Of course, most trees don't inspire awe. They're just part of our daily lives. And some trees can make life miserable for people with allergies or asthma. But trees and green spaces are a magnet for many people, especially during COVID.
The pandemic did something rather remarkable. It drove our number of visitors through the roof.
Ned Friedman runs the Arnold Arboretum in Boston. The record crowd cemented his view. The Arboretum is not just a nice amenity. It's a key piece of Boston's healthcare system.
We're part of what keeps people out of hospitals. So for me, an arboretum like the Arnold and the other green spaces, the magnificent green spaces in Boston, should be thought of as essential to health and well-being of the citizenry.
Especially now, when trees are boosting our health as well as that of the planet. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.
And Martha is with us now. Welcome, Martha.
Hi, Tiziana.
Hi. Before we dive in, I just want to give listeners a chance to join us, Martha. And I want to know, what tree are you hugging up there? What tree brings you joy or awe, or is the one that sort of stands proud and tall over your life? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. So, Martha, we couldn't resist some tree puns, so don't leave us hanging here. Why a series on trees? What got you started on this?
Yeah, so you're going to do stand up on the side now?
Is no, that what
you're
thinking? Really.
Yeah. Okay, well, to be serious, one of the things I cover is the intersection of health and climate change. And, you know, it's mostly kind of grim. But then about this time last year, Attorney General Maura Healey's office hosted this webinar on the critical role that forests and trees play in protecting the climate and our health. So I started reading a lot more about how much carbon trees store, how valuable they are in cleaning our air and cooling it. And then in this story you just heard, you know, about the many direct health benefits. So, you know, I've always liked being around trees, but now I was realizing, you know, they're just awesome.
Okay, I got to ask, is there a tree for you? Like, I know what tree comes into my head when we start having this conversation. Is there one for you?
So I'm really lucky to live in a neighborhood with lots of trees. And right now I'm staring out my window at some just gorgeous oaks with the light coming through them. And I know that my neighborhood here is a lot cooler than the neighborhoods in Chelsea or parts of Revere or East Boston where they have very few. And I guess I don't know if I'm grateful for a single one right this second, Tiziana, but the value that I'm getting from these trees right now is it's hard to quantify. They're beautiful and they're making my environment just so much lovelier.
So let's pick up on that, sort of that access to trees, right? You're focusing in this series on that intersection, climate change, health, and equity, and using trees as the lens. Talk about that intersection of those three topics.
Well, so the series looked at the critical ways that trees improve our health in two ways. One is kind of improving the health of our planet and the space in which we live. And then in this story that you just heard about how they kind of nurture our bodies and minds. And once I started realizing all of those health advantages, it also became really clear that people don't have equal access to that, that there are a lot of people who are just losing out. That's generally lower income residents. You know, in the language of healthcare speak, that means there's some real health disparities caused by not living around trees, not having that cleaning, cooling, healing power that trees can offer.
And your favorite part about reporting this series? I will tell you, my favorite part about reading it and listening to it was just the idea of trees as these big, affable scrubbers of all kinds of toxins. But what was your favorite part about reporting this series?
Yeah, well, as I've said, I've always loved being around trees and you know, having these oaks in my backyard. But what I guess I just really started seeing trees differently. It was like this lens clicked on in my brain, because I wasn't just enjoying the beauty of them or, you know, the light dappling through the leaves. I was really seeing them as these kind of valuable machines almost to protect the environment and to become kind of really important to our medical futures. Our health.
I do want to invite again, 1-800-423-8255. Tell us about that tree for you. And Martha, to that point, I hear the story got a lot of feedback. People really do love their own trees. Tell us about some of the trees that you have been hearing about.
Well, we heard stories from people talking about the trees on the town greens that kids have climbed for generations, and trees that have inspired poetry. trees that people decorate for holidays. And there are also some stories about trees as living history. So let me tell you one from Yvonne Lallier. She sent in photos of two European elms near a very busy intersection in Lower Roxbury. It's Tremont Street and Melnia Cass. So it's right near 95, right near I-93. And Lallier says this neighborhood was raised to put in the highway, but somehow these two giant elms survived. And people who grew up in the area and had to move out of their homes have come back and talked to Lallier about how these trees used to be in a schoolyard, and now they're all that's left.
It's important to keep them, to preserve the history. Otherwise, an area would be just like any other place, because the buildings are all new.
So that's trees as landmarks. And of course, trees have been a refuge for many people during the pandemic. Tara Cosino has been visiting two twin spruce pines attached at the roots. They're about five stories tall, and they're in Milton.
This spruce grove is like a pair of best friends bolstering me after a heartbreak. Sometimes I'd rest my forehead on one branch too large to wrap my arms around and weep with grief or gratitude, depending on the day.
Martha, what do you hope that people will take away from this story about our leafy friends?
I hope they use these stories as inspiration to spend more time hanging out with trees. I hope we all make a little bit more effort to take care of the trees that we have and, of course, plant some more. And I hope that trees give us strength to make some of the tough changes that we have to start making today, to use less fossil fuels in any way we can, so that we don't keep adding to that blanket of greenhouse gases that is overheating our planet.
WBUR health reporter Martha Biebinger. Martha, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's grab a call. Rachel is calling from Franklin. Rachel, go ahead. Or maybe not Rachel in Franklin. Let's grab Peg in Westwood. Peg, go ahead.
Hi, I am a tree lover, and I don't have a specific tree. I mostly love big old trees and walking in the woods around them. But I also wanted to mention a woman up in Canada. Her name is Diana Beresford Kroger, and she's a scientist and botanist who waxes so eloquently about trees and has such tremendous knowledge about simple things like that there's an enzyme that pine trees emit, and if you stand under them for 30 minutes or more, you can boost your immune system for 30 days, and how great that is right now while we're struggling with COVID.
Thanks, Peg. I don't have scientific confirmation of that, but it does get to this idea that of the strong health benefits that trees can give us. Peter James is with us now. He is an assistant professor in the Department of Environmental Health at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Peter, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
I know you spoke with Martha as part of the series, too. You just heard caller Peg talk about benefits she's learned about from a botanist about trees. One of the things that is remarkable is there are serious medical conditions that it turns out trees can have some sort of mitigating effect on. Tell us about those.
Yeah, for sure. This is a growing body of literature where we've seen both experimental studies and observational studies that show that exposure to trees could improve cognitive function, alter our brain activity, decrease blood pressure, obviously provide opportunity for physical activity and improve our sleep. And these changes translate into long-term changes in the incidence of depression, anxiety, cognitive decline, chronic diseases, including cardiovascular disease and cancer, as well as, longevity and mortality. So I think there's a very strong body of evidence that just continues to grow.
Stunning, right? That my cognitive functioning might be affected by the birch tree that I loved in the front yard where I grew up. I wonder, is this causality or is it correlation? Is it that we know there is a specific effect from the tree? Or is it that we know that there are more trees in areas where people also have access to the other resources necessary to be healthier?
So certainly this is something we are delving into, and I can't assert that it's causal right now, But, you know, lots of different types of studies. So randomized trials, for instance, where you have people walk in green settings versus kind of urban settings, you know, that's kind of the gold standard of evidence. And we do see effects on cognitive function, blood pressure in those types of trials. And I think also when we look at large scale observational studies, you know, we do account for instance, socioeconomic factors that might be different in greener communities versus less green communities. And we, you know, we still see these associations. So I would say we're moving in that direction of saying these are potentially causal. Another thing worth noting is that we do see that actually lower socioeconomic status communities may get a bigger benefit from trees and green space than higher socioeconomic status communities. So that would kind of speak to the idea that it's not just, you know, some sort of correlation that we're observing, but actually it is something about these green spaces that seems to be driving health.
Professor Peter James, I want to grab one other call here. Forrest in Somerville. Forrest, briefly, your tree.
Yes. My tree is this huge tree on Somerville Ave in the middle of a cemetery next to Market Basket. And it's really beautiful. And I've lived here for 25 years and enjoyed looking at it ever since. And it seems to be dying right now. So I'm kind of concerned about it.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you for the shout out, Forrest, to your favorite tree. So, Peter, I want to come back to you and ask. So, you know, Forrest can go stand under that tree. Hopefully the tree's going to be okay. What's the guidance for people who want to take advantage of the health benefits of trees? Do you go stand under them for a long time? Do you go for walks in forests? How does one bring this positive effect into one's life?
Yeah, so I'd say a little bit of all of the above. It seems that you know, it would be beneficial to spend time in nature, go out and spend time amongst trees. But you know, I will also speak to the larger picture here, and that is that we need to encourage our policymakers to, you know, maintain and plant more trees, to develop more parks, and to fund this work. I think that's really the important thing here. A lot of the work that I do shows that people are not necessarily gaining the big benefit by going and spending time, you know, in Yosemite. It's really about having trees as part of our everyday lives. And really, this nature is an essential part of our proper and optimal health. And so it's really something we need to have every day. So that's truly, I think, something that we can change by having our policymakers plant more trees and bring trees into our lives.
Peter, what's your tree?
So I'd have to say it's the red maple that was planted right outside my house, right when my daughter was born. And, you know, it was a sapling 2 years ago, and now my daughter's walking and talking, and the tree is about to burst through our window. So it's been really incredible watching them grow up together.
Wonderful. Allison's on the phone in Boston. Allison, lightning round, what's your tree?
Actually, I have many trees, but I'm more concerned about the great green space in Crane Ledge in Hyde Park, which is there's a proposal to demolish it for a housing complex. And I think maintaining those old woods and green spaces is so much more important.
Allison, I'm going to take it back from you there. Thanks for that heads up. Peter James, I also want to thank you, assistant professor in the Department of Environmental Health at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Appreciate you telling us about these amazing health benefits of trees. Thank you.
Thank you so much.